very good morning to you on what is Fellowship Day 865. It's a quiet morning and one in which I felt, oh, I've got maybe 10 or 15 minutes. What could I possibly do with those? And so the red button has been hit. The ad-libbing has begun. I have a few ideas of what I wanted to talk about with you on today's podcast, but it's only really in this ad-libbing phase where I'm really at the cliff edge with myself and the ghost of me is about to push me over and say, talk about something, Mark. Anything at all, Mark, as long as it's not nothing, Mark. The thing that is at the front of mind is that ghost pushes me over and I come tumbling down to some sort of conversational thread. It's this. And I still feel quite uncomfortable saying it out loud, but I think if I do, I'll realise that I am actually on that train again. I'm deep in writing my second book, which I'm starting to enjoy. I have actually been at it for over a year at this point, on and off as it was in the beginning when I was writing You Are Not a Fraud. But yes, I'm there again. I'm at the keyboard and I'm mentioning it now because it's only now that I'm realizing I've got that minimum level of consistency in the daily writing, which maybe a story for later, maybe a story for another episode, is actually really pertinent to what I think will be the subject of the book itself. This is going to be a very, very different beast from You Are Not a Fraud, which was, as well as scratching my own itch about managing the so-called imposter syndrome, that was really my exploration to try to climb up the mountain towards my literary heroes, folks like Malcolm Gladwell, who had just mastered the art of non-fiction storytelling and being a masterful teacher through the art of story. Now, when I was writing You Are Not a Fraud, I wanted to embed the stories from history that helped me learn how to manage my own imposter experiences. And so that was a really great way of, from chapter to chapter, building up the skill of how to write impactfully, how to try to have someone stop, to take a breath, to let something sink in, and at the same time then unapologetically meander through what looks like a complete tangent to the main story before finding a way back to some sort of useful crescendo at the end of the chapter. So that was a real labour of love. It was a real endurance test to try to build that up. It's not up to me to say whether or not I succeeded at that, but the point was I loved doing it. Now, what I'm trying to do in this second book is something altogether different, and actually something that is probably a little bit more aligned with what you're listening to now. It's something where it's not a 40-page narrative per chapter. It's not something that has layers and layers of scientific and historical references. It doesn't have graphs and figures and plots and data everywhere. It's, let's say, a sidestep from that more serious form of non-fiction book. It's something where I want to be able to share with you, as I do here, just short form reflections on stuff that's not worked out, stuff that I'm thinking about all the time, things I don't have answers to, but really love to try to frame in some sort of provocation. So that, broadly speaking, is what I'm trying to do with this second book. I don't have a title for it. I haven't yet got anywhere near trying to get my editor to help me. I'm on what I'm calling draft two, but I can see at least two other drafts having to come. I'm experimenting with new writing tools that I've never used before, but I'm using to see if they can in some way evolve the style in which I write, and in a necessary way for what is going to demand a lot more concision, if that's a word. I need to be more concise in the messages that I want to get across. The previous book was, let's say, eight core messages that came across in really long form narratives. So 8 stories told in long form. The second book is going to be more like several hundred stories told in incredibly short form. And as I write it, this is me now finding my groove in what I want to talk to you about. The real thing that I'm struggling with is the memories, the recollection, the reliving of what it was like to write the first couple of drafts of the previous book, because the loudest voice in my head as the words come out of my brain through my fingertips onto the keyboard is, this is complete and utter garbage. Put it in the bin. Don't bother. Allow yourself to get distracted by rolling 2 pencils along the table. Do anything other than continue to write this absurdly terrible form of words that you're trying to put together and somehow claim is going to be useful to someone else. These are the voices that are in my head now. They're the obvious voices that were there when I was writing more about the so-called imposter syndrome. But it's just, it's weird because it's been so long since I started the first book that I'd almost forgotten just how intense the self-doubt can be as you're synthesizing the words for a new article or new book for the first time. And almost forgetting, despite the fact you've been there before, that there will be time for that lovely, far easier job of editing and refining and getting reviews on later from beta readers. That's all the great stuff that comes after the tallest hurdle of all, which is just getting words down in the first place, getting a draft that is so terrible that you're ashamed to call it a draft, capital D or not. But nonetheless, it exists, and it has to exist in order for drafts 2 or 3 or 10 or the first published version of that article or book to ever see the light of day or be reflected into someone else's eyes. So I'm there at the moment. If you're interested, I'll probably start to update on social media and here more often, certainly in the blog version, the blog page that comes along with each podcast episode, to say a little bit more about where I'm at, and maybe even start the process of giving you the opportunity to sign up for previews or pre-orders of this book. I use that word and I scoff with a little bit of sick in my mouth as I say it, because let's say I'm quarter of the way through the current year. Side note, I am garbling as much as I think I am when I'm trying to write this book at the moment. Anyway, let's say I'm a quarter of the way through the current year, talking about previews and pre-orders and updating you on book progress. And I don't know if it's going to be ready by a quarter of the way through next year, never mind this one. But nonetheless, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. I'm talking to you about this now because I've just got that sense that I'm building the consistency again to do it. This morning on my way out to work, I was writing on the bus. I pulled the laptop out and I had it scrunched over me. I was contorted just to be able to get my crooked little fingers across the keyboard and write something. I had the screen dimmed down so that the people sitting next to me and behind me wouldn't dare get curious enough to try to read what was on the page. But anyway, the point of that is that I wasn't using any excuse not to write. Sometimes I might get a quiet 5 minutes in the morning in the house where I'll write something. Today, it was writing a few more somethings on the bus. It might be 10 minutes over lunch. It might be the last half an hour of the day if I can pull the energy together and peel myself away from the TV or whatever. But it's only now I've got that taste of it again where I'm shedding those excuses and just going for it every day. And only because it's book 2, I can be a little tiny, weeny, weeny, wee bit more comfortable with the fact that the vast majority of what I'm writing now, for consistency's sake, might never, ever end up in this so-called book that I'm attempting to write. But you have to have that data in order to turn it into information. So, there's other stuff I want to talk about. What will I talk about? What else is going on? We're approaching exam season for university work. So I find myself thinking about helping people with exam preparation, with their study materials, providing feedback on what they've attempted but not quite got right. And I'll go into that teaching thing another time, but I'll pick on that just a little bit to draw a parallel with what has transpired to be the subject of today's podcast, and that is that ability to put stuff down on paper, be it the book stuff I've spoken about today, or daring to prepare for an exam by trying out earlier questions, not knowing if you've got the right answer, to then have the gall, the guts, to then pass that to someone else and say, I've had a go. What do you think? I've tried to do this. I value your opinion enough to bare my flesh a little bit and take whatever wounds come my way, because I know at the other end of it, the scar tissue is going to make me stronger, not weaker. The feedback is what I need to improve. So the students are doing that now. That's what I'll be helping with for a large part of the rest of today. But I'm nowhere near ready to be that brave myself and getting feedback for book two. But the hint I'll give you is that, let's say that not just the podcast, but perhaps more and more of what you can read in the accompanying ultra short blog post that comes with each podcast will start to serve as a medium where you might feedback into something you don't realise is the book. I've dropped a massive hint there and probably now made myself commit to something I wasn't sure I was even going to say at the start of this podcast. So where will I end? Where do I have to end for the Read and Deed podcast today? Well, firstly, I would say, in terms of feedback, this maybe brings things full circle a little bit. If you happen to be one of the people listening who has been kind enough to grab a copy of and read You Are Not a Fraud, A Scientist's Guide to the Imposter Phenomenon, and you haven't given it a review somewhere yet, I would be deeply grateful if you did so. I don't think I understand how useful and valuable those reviews are, but everyone else tells me that each one is worth its weight in gold. Not necessarily financially, but just in terms of having any sort of visibility that the next person who might just need something like You Are Not a Fraud actually gets to find it. So if you've got a minute, if you've read the book, I'd be delighted if you reviewed it either on Amazon or Goodreads or wherever it makes sense for you to drop a little review of it. And thank you very much in advance for doing so. But rather than tipping up the begging bowl, let me turn it upside down and put the hat back in my head to end this episode of the Read and Deed podcast, as I try to do most others. I've spoken a lot today about getting stuff down on paper and eventually getting to the point of consistency where it overcomes my self-doubt. And it's been about finding places, times to do things, to do writing, and not say that that place or time is inconvenient. Just doing it, knowing that I need the volume of words before I can distill them down into the useful, book-worthy editorial version. So for you, whether it's writing, whether it's research, whether it's exploring new jobs, whether it's picking up a new skill or a hobby, or talking with friends, spending time with loved ones, trying something out, a project that you think is bigger than you, how might you shed the excuses not to get the job done all at once, but to get it done consistently over as much time as it needs. How can you avoid waiting on brilliance when consistency will do the job just fine? Thanks for sticking with me today. And thanks, as ever, for being here. Take care, and I will see you again soon for another episode of the Read Indeed podcast. Bye for now.